Ian Harrison joins us here from the Associated Press, covers the Blue Jays. Ian, how you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you guys?
Good. Where are the Jays at right now in your mind? We were just talking about them trying to make up 4.5 games. Any shot left?
Yeah, they're in trouble. For me, the big problem is not so much the deficit as it is the number of teams that they're competing with at this point, because you're at the point where you're relying on a bunch of other teams to slip. And that's the toughest ask in my mind. If it was just a matter of them making up the games, then sure, they could get hot and there's still the chance that they can tear off a month like they had in May where they went 21-9 and really chew up some ground in a hurry. But, you need Seattle to falter. You need one of Kansas City and Detroit to falter. You need somebody else to cool off in the, they've just given up so much ground and had other teams catch up them in the standings, but that's the toughest ask in my mind, is that there's just such a big thick bunch of teams bunched up there in that race, and not everybody's going to struggle that badly over the final month and a half.
Yeah, and I mean that's exactly the way I see it. 4.5 is a tough enough nut to crack, but You look at the wild card race. There's some good ball clubs ahead of them, like you mentioned. Oakland, Detroit, Seattle, the Yankees, Cleveland. The Blue Jays can win 25 games the rest of the way if they get remarkably hot. But all it takes is for one of those other teams to be at or near as hot, and you come up short.
Yeah, I mean, even at the start of the year, I kind of had the feeling that the Blue Jays were kind of going to be this year's version of last year's Yankees, a team that was, hanging around the race into the last couple of weeks of the season, but was never really close enough to be, making an impact. And they, they went out in May and took what looked like a very comfortable lead atop the division, and then things started going wrong, as they seem to do every year, unfortunately, this team. Guys started getting hurt, and that really sent things asunder. Losing Edwin Encarnacion was just such a major blow to this team's offensive production. Finally getting him back now, that's the one thing that's going right for this team right now, is that Encarnacion is back and swinging the bat. He had a productive at bat today, and his protection for Batista is so important. Batista with the big two-run home run today. I was thinking after Detroit was here a week and a half ago or whatever, and things were starting to go wrong for the Tigers. Anibal Sanchez and then Joaquin Soria and then Justin Verlander are all getting hurt in a span of 3 days. At that point, you'd almost rather be the Blue Jays, because they were actually getting guys back at the key point of the season rather than losing them. Obviously, they still don't have Brett Lurie back in Toronto and playing that incredible defense at third base has been so important. But maybe the chance that he can still come back. We haven't heard anything in a while about Brandon Morrow, although, what he could bring back to this team is always still a big question mark. But at least, at least the Blue Jays, touch wood, are going to get guys, more and more guys back and strengthen their lineup for that pivotal month of September.
Ian Harrison joining us here from the Associated Press, looking at the Jays. And all the talk around the All-Star break leading to the trade deadline about this team needing to add, and I know it crushed fans that they didn't add anybody. Did it hurt the psyche of this team, though, that they didn't get better at that point?
Well, certainly based on the pretty vocal comments we heard around following the deadline from Jose Bautista and Casey Jansen, the sort of, very strong sense of disappointment in the clubhouse that nothing had been done, or nothing more serious had been done than adding Danny Valencia to the mix. That you wonder what kind of impact and feeling that had. I'm sympathetic to Jays general manager Alex Anthopoulos. If he felt that the asking prices were too high and he was reluctant to, sort of really mortgage the future and the really exciting young arms coming up for a shot this year, that's always a tough call to make. That's why the general managers get paid the big bucks, is to sort of, decide what's worth it and when it's worth it to strike. You wouldn't want to have to say something like this. The team hasn't given its all, or has sort of has not played its hardest or as well as it could because it's upset with management. That's not the kind of thing you would expect out of professional athletes, for sure. But you wonder what the feeling is. I think there's certainly some confusion. You know, I mean, this season has been so sort of strange from the get-go in that standpoint, and that the Jays front office was going around in spring training, you know, hat in hand, saying, hey, do you guys mind giving us a few million bucks to help us sign Urban Santana? And everything from there has seemed like, you know, it's operating on not a shoestring budget, because $137 million or whatever this payroll is certainly not shoestring, but the sense that there was so little wiggle room at the deadline to add salary in a deal, you know, I can certainly sympathize with the players' frustrations from that standpoint also, that you know, if there was a you know, you really thought that this was a good time to go and try and bolster the team, and nothing serious was really done.
You talk about them having no wiggle room at the deadline and salary-wise. I mean, this is a team owned by a giant club or a giant company in Rogers. How come there is no money there?
You know, I think the sense is that there is a good amount of money there. I mean, that's what it boils down to. This is the top 10 payroll in Major League Baseball, and they made that big, big commitment. And, you know, with all the moves before the 2013 season, bringing in Dickey and Reyes and Burley and, you know, guys who are not just earning a lot of money now, but some guys, especially with Reyes and Burley, who still have lots and lots of money yet to come on their deals, probably so much so that you would struggle to move them. And so I think from ownership, the standpoint is, like, look, we've done what is expected of us here, and we haven't seen extremely tangible results in the wins and losses. You know, I think people have a right to say, well, it's a little bit more than that. You know, you're probably seeing something on your balance sheet in terms of ticket sales, which were up drastically again last year, and in terms of broadcasting revenue, you know, the number of people who are watching these games, the number of people who are on your website or on your radio station following these games. It's about more than just, you know, what you see in the wins and losses. So it's, you know, I'm not intimately familiar with the financial balance sheet here, and mm-hmm. One thing I do know is that you can always trick those things. But and you know, in the vast Rogers Empire, there's a lot of flow in and out from different places that's related to baseball. So you know, it's hard to say exactly what the payroll expenditure is worth to the company at the bottom line in terms of where it brings revenue back. But you know, they put up, at some sense, you know, I've always been of the opinion that, you know, it's probably worth spending just that little bit more to get the results, to get yourself, you know, where you want to be. If you believe the championship's the ultimate goal, and you can afford it, and I believe they can afford it, that they should just keep spending that little bit extra when they have the opportunity. So, you know, it has been a little bit mystifying to not see, to sort of get the sense that that the hands are tied in the front office to not add. You know, I don't want to be too critical of management, because they've given this team a bigger payroll than it's ever had, but they do seem a little bit unwilling to take on any more risk in that standpoint.
Yeah, exactly. And here's the thing, and you well know this. You know, there was a buzz two spring trainings ago about the team that was put together here. Clearly, it wasn't good enough last season. I'm not saying they were a joke, but they came up short. Same this year. Hang around. You can't, as management, say, well, we did our part. We need to get more out of this. If you're going to look at it like that, you're not going to get over the top. Now the question becomes, the clock is ticking, and you mentioned a couple of contracts that might be tough to move. But if this team falls short again, I don't say you pull it apart and take it right down to the studs, but you've got to make some changes. And while they may not want to spend more money, they may go the route of different personnel at the same price point, and then you're starting over again.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how things manifest themselves this winter. You know, it would be a real shame to see. I don't think it's going to happen, as you say, that this team will get ripped apart. You know, the question is, you know, at this kind of level of expenditure, what do you do to make things just a little bit better, and to make this a team that, you know, instead of being in a dogfight for a second wild card berth, and that, you know, that really slim chance of that one game playoff that, you know, where things can go any way. You really want to win the division because that's where you get, a much more extended playoff run. And what can be done to put yourself in the mix with the division, because I think that is rapidly falling out of the Blue Jays' reach in this season. So, you know, if the focus for 2015 is division championship, where do you tinker and what do you do? What moves do you make within the sort of payroll range that Rogers is willing to deal with?
Yeah.
What do you do to kind of push the envelope a little bit and get there, you know, and get, you know, make this a 90-win team instead of a team sort of scraping into the mid to high 80s?
Yeah, and then you just hope that the Yankees and the Red Sox stay down another year, right? I mean, that's just, it's so unlikely to happen that those teams won't be, you know, 100-win teams in the near future again.
Yeah, that's the other thing. You know, this division has been dominated for so long by those two teams, and these last 2 years have sort of looked like the time in which it was time for Toronto to make some hay finally. You know, I don't think very few people expected Boston to be the team they were last year. Obviously, they've kind of fallen back to earth this year, and we've seen the Yankees kind of muddling a little bit. Obviously, they've still spent money the same way they always do, bringing in Tanaka this winter and other moves that they've made. Whether or not they can rebound again in a hurry and take command of this division again, you wonder what will happen there. They've seemed to have lost the magic touch a little bit, but yeah, it's such a surprise to me also to see Baltimore, a team that kind of, you know, languished with Toronto for all those years when the Yankees and Red Sox were dominant. You didn't think that Baltimore was going to become the class of this division. You know, people in Toronto looked at all the young key players coming up in this system and thought maybe we'll be that team that kind of takes over the mantle from Tampa Bay, and instead it seems like Baltimore has figured it out faster than Toronto.
If you were GM for a day and could make one change, what would be the first area you would address looking at the Blue Jays as they are now? Because like I say, they've spent some money, and it's not that the team has no chance, but, you know, we're probably going to see more than one move, somewhere between that and tearing it apart, as we've referenced. But if you could start out pointing your finger at one area, where would you start the change?
You know, I think the one place that you want it, or well, not the one place, but there are multiple places, but you want what you really want in a sort of long-term contending team is strength up the middle of your field. And that's one place I think that the Blue Jays have really lacked consistency. They've had quality in the outfield, but, up the sort of spine, catcher, second base, center field. Second base has been a real, you know, revolving door for the team, and they haven't had a solid catcher in I don't know how long, maybe since the World Series years. So, you know, if I could have one day at the helm, maybe that's where I would direct my efforts. Try to find somebody or somebodies who would be your people at second base and at catcher. And obviously, catcher is an extremely difficult position to find long-term solutions, but. So maybe just try second base. Try to find somebody that you can put at second base to pair with Jose Reyes for the next couple of years and really be a solid part of your spine up the middle of the diamond on defense.
Ian Harrison from the Associated Press. Ian, I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
My pleasure, guys. Thank you.